Please be seated. I was pretty excited when I was asked to preach this Sunday when I realized what the gospel lesson is, because in my years as a Franciscan friar in this diocese, my vows are to the Bishop of Virginia, I preach the healing power of the living Christ. One of the things I like to do is called risotherapy. It's healing through laughter. It's Greek. It doesn't work, of course, if you just sit there. So here we go. There was a man who was sprawled across the entire three seats of a movie theater. And an usher came up and said, "Sir, you can only use one seat." But the man didn't say anything. The usher went and got the manager, and the two of them told him again, you can't do this. You have to get a seat. You can't do this. And he still didn't say anything. The police came, and an officer said, "Sir, what's your name?" And he softly said, "Fred." "Where are you from?" the cop asked. No reply. So he asked him again, "Where are you from?" And Fred said, "The balcony." There was a guy that figured he was a pretty good writer. He'd gotten very good grades all through school, and when he asked to define great, he said, "I want to write great stuff, stuff that the whole world will read, stuff that people will react to on a truly emotional level, stuff that will make them scream and cry and howl in pain and anger." And his dream came true. He works for Microsoft. He writes those error messages. Here's an important life lesson. Do not criticize someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Then you can criticize them because you're a mile away and you've got their shoes. For those and my other sins, I ask for your prayers in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the 16 years since I first took my vows as a Franciscan friar before Bishop Peter Lee, I've been preaching about the healing power of our living, healing Savior, Jesus Christ. My mentor, when I was first starting out in my vocation, was the former rector of this parish. Some of you may remember the Reverend Dr. Rufus Womble. Rufus underwent a dramatic healing, and it happened right at the time that he was ministering here. And when I met him, Rufus was conducting a weekly healing service at All Saints Church in Richmond on Thursday mornings. It was a very unique service, not the least of which was the number of people who took part. Now, this is a Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, and our average attendance was 35 to 40 people, and on several occasions, 100 people showed up. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know Rufus's healing story. When he was in his 50s, and he was the rector here, he was stricken with rheumatoid arthritis. He was hospitalized, and he was told by his doctors that he might never be able to walk again, and he was, to say the least, depressed. Parishioners, members of this parish, went to the hospital, laid hands on Rufus, and prayed for his healing. Rufus told me that God spoke to him that night, and God told him he could be healed, but first he would have to forgive those whom he had marginalized over his ministry, those he disliked, some he hated. Rufus made a list. There were more than 40 names on that list. Over the next dozen years, he sought every one of them out. He admitted his sin. He was healed, and he preached that for the rest of his life. The Thursday, before the Wednesday that Rufus, as he put it, went to be with Jesus, he preached a perfectly lucid sermon. He was walking fine. He was 94 years old. He had never lost his ability to walk. He was healed, and he continued to preach it until he had no breath left in him. This morning, St. Mark offers us a kind of narrative sandwich of healing stories, a tale within a tale, if you will. It begins with a desperate father who's a leader in the synagogue pleading with Jesus to come and heal his critically ill daughter. This is no laughing matter. The story is then interrupted by Jesus' encounter with a woman who has been ill for a dozen years with chronic bleeding. In the midst of a crowd of hundreds of grasping hands, Jesus feels a powerful connection with one hand. The woman believes that if she touches his cloak, she will be healed. She asks, Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" And in effect, the disciples' response was, you got to be kidding. I mean, look around you. All these people, who touched you? Everybody's got their hands on you. They didn't laugh out loud, but I doubt that they took him seriously. In spite of their disbelief, Jesus heals that faithful woman. Meanwhile, some mourners come from the home to tell the father that his daughter has died. Now, there's no point in having Jesus come to heal her. She's dead. When Jesus tells the crowd that she's not dead but sleeping, they laugh at him. Right there in front of everybody, the mourners laugh in his face. These mourners are not the first to scoff at what God has been doing with Jesus. Remember how old Abraham and Sarah each in turn laughed when they heard God promise that they would bear a son and become the forebears of a great multitude? They had to laugh because the promise was impossible from a human point of view. These mourners don't take Jesus seriously either. Why should they? They know about death. Death is an all too frequent and unwelcome intruder in the homes of the old and the young. This little girl is dead. What can Jesus do about death? With God, all things are possible, and God is about to prove them dead wrong. In spite of the ridicule, Jesus goes to the house and restores the little girl to life. The top and bottom of our narrative sandwich is the story of that little girl. Inside is the story of the healing of the bleeding woman who has tried every cure but found no relief until she meets Jesus. At the end, those who doubted and those who laughed were left in speechless amazement. In these stories, Mark shows us the abundant healing grace of God in Jesus Christ. What we can learn is that in Jesus there is hope, life, and community for all. Meanwhile, we too often tend to let the gospel out in dribs and drabs. We may be stingy with what God so lavishly gives us. We may worry about who deserves our help, who deserves our food, our time, our money, our attention. Without realizing it, we may even carefully calculate the conditions under which we will stoop to forgive someone, forgetting that God teaches that we are forgiven as we forgive. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer. If you pray daily, if you read Scripture daily, if you remind yourself daily that we are forgiven as we forgive, if you trust God, love Jesus, and depend on the Holy Spirit, if you believe the resurrection promises of Jesus Christ, God's grace has a way of slipping in and taking you by surprise and changing you and your attitudes. When you experience the abundance of God's grace, you can't help but take Jesus seriously. In Jesus, God has a way of transforming our dismissive laughter into tears of joy, our skepticism into speechless amazement. The gospel is full of promises that become your own when you take Jesus seriously. In Matthew we read, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew also offers a reminder. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. John tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." But wait, there's more. In Luke, we read, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In Romans, "Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." And again in Romans, "I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more." What? These promises can't be true. Lord, you've got to be kidding. And then we realize, Jesus isn't kidding at all. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Thanks be to God.